Good evening and welcome to the Chip Shop and to California.
This week's edition from the West Coast Fair in San Francisco.
Now then, what is this West Coast Fair? Well, it's the oldest established annual computer convention in America. The whole place is a kind of paradise for computer hustlers and fast-talking salesmen, although even the fastest talkers can hardly match this.
Peter Piper picked a pick of pickled peppers. The pick of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a pick of pickled peppers, where's the pick of pickled peppers that Peter Piper picked?
Okay, you try it and see how you get on. So when Bill Gates addressed a seminar at the fair, the place was packed. He began his speech by informing us that, generally speaking, computer manuals are less than perfectly written. Oh, really, Bill? So what else is new? I mean, did you know that some manuals include the word pagination? And do you know what pagination means? It means numbering pages. Just hang in there a minute while I paginate this manual. Dear Lord, what are we coming to? However, the good news was that Mr. Gates was going to change all that, and this indeed is how Microsoft's research is developing.
The industry as a whole is learning over time how to do good documentation. There's now a general view that you break the manual down into three different pieces. The first piece, which we call cookbook, just gives the user enough knowledge to go in and do some interesting things. And therefore they'll be motivated, they'll understand in general what the package can do, and they'll be motivated to go ahead and use the reference material, because they'll have a sense by following these specific steps in the cookbook what types of things they'll be getting done and in general how the program works. So it gives them a preview. The second part is a tutorial section. And that goes through comprehensively all the concepts and all the keyboard steps, and it's something that should be read just like a book. And then, of course, the final section is the reference section that's indexed both by type of action and by specific command. Now, these last two sections of the manual are being enhanced somewhat with online information. It's kind of exciting to use the power of a microcomputer to improve the communication with the end user about the definition of the product. One of the things that's been widely accepted, and I think all popular products have now, is a built-in help facility where you use a question mark key or some other key to bring up an explanation of what's going on with the program right now. Now, the best type of help text is what's called context-sensitive. That means that when you use the help key, it looks at what command you're in the middle of giving, and it says, okay, this person's giving the format command, and they're in the alignment field. So they're trying to understand what alignment means, what the various options are. And it goes immediately to that place in the help text. I'm getting even more sophisticated about that. We're actually recording the errors that the user makes. And so when you ask for help, we'll go back and look and say, okay, the most recent five errors or so were all this same type, and therefore there's a certain confusion this user's getting into, and they need this particular type of help text. Now, we're facilitating our ability to do that by when we go out to beta test with a product, we actually put inside the product a recording mechanism that tracks all the things the user's doing and the problems they get into, and that gets stored away. Hopefully the beta tester has a hard disk, because it's a fair amount of information. And we take that back from all the beta testers and we analyze, did they use all the commands, did they get into certain types of problems. And that input can be used in many ways. It can be used to change the product, to get rid of a command that people never use, or to make something simpler. If you only have a few people running into a problem, it can be used to say, okay, we'll put something in the help text that recognizes this series of errors. For example, they're instead of drive letters, they're trying to use drive numbers, and of course you're supposed to use drive letters. And so we'll do error analysis, see that, bring up help text that explains, no, this is the way this should work.
And that was Bill Gates of Microsoft. Sounds a bit like Kermit, doesn't he? However, on the subject of software, let us not overlook Lexisoft, who produced the word processing package called Spellbinder. At the fair, they're showing their latest additions to this system, among them a spreadsheet facility and a check on spelling and grammar. Mind you, the spelling's American, so it's not a lot of use to those who think that, for example, aluminium ought to include at least two I's. I think I could get very bored with a computer which insisted there should only be one. Still, you can't have everything, and if you're interested, this, according to Andy Goldberg of Lexisoft, is how it works.
Well, essentially it is pre-programmed with a set of rules for the English language. And it does such things as tell you when you're being too wordy or tell you when your words are too short or too long, and it gives you a number of analytical indicators about the type of prose that you write. It will tell you if you've used a word too many times. You can set the criteria for how many too many is and so on. It's useful. It's useful as a style checker more than anything else to improve your own work.
Andy Goldberg of Lexisoft, and all that perhaps gives an added poignancy to a tale told by Larry Tesler of Apple about how the Carnegie Mellon University was investigating what help computers might give to Americans with their English. Apparently, the university's English faculty had got together with computer boffins, and this, he said, is what they came up with.
In the English department at Carnegie Mellon, they're developing software that will let you type a sentence and tell you whether the sentence has enough impact. Okay? Not just whether it's grammatical, but whether it'll say, no, passive voice, okay? Too many big words, too long, okay? And it'll analyze your sentences. And what really frightened me was that the English teacher was writing the program in Lisp.
I suppose I should point out, for those who are not programmers, that Lisp is a technical language. Yes, that's right, it was a joke, and I didn't get it either. Anyway, having processed your thoughts into grammatically correct American, which sometimes bears quite a remarkable similarity to English, one of these Californian characters will read them back to you.
Hello, everyone. I'm DeckTalk, a system for converting ordinary English into understandable speech. My name is Paul, and...
Just a minute, Lissani. Let's give some others in here a chance, too. Betty, can you come here for a minute?
Hi there, folks. I'm Betty, and this is my friend Harry.
Hi, folks.
We have a lot of fun entertaining people, but we can be very productive, too.
We make it easy for people to get their electronic mail without a terminal. We can effectively turn any telephone into a terminal for information retrieval. You can get your electronic mail from any push-button phone.
And we can change voices to indicate a change of reference.
Kit, introduce yourself.
I'm sorry, Mom. Hello, everyone. I'm Kit, the kid.
Well, actually, that was DeckTalk, a voice synthesis device from Digital Equipment Corporation. You simply type your text into a computer, which then reads it out aloud. And when would you want to use such a thing? Well, let's say you're a salesman far from home and in urgent need of information, and you have no computer with you. This is what you do. You go to the phone, type in the requisite code, and DeckTalk gives you the facts you want verbally. Great, isn't it? Mind you, I know another way to achieve the same ends, and you don't even need a modem. You just get on the phone and ask for Fred, and you say, Fred, you know that information you're going to give me? Well, I rather need it now. Still, that's the old-fashioned way and only involves two human beings. DeckTalk is much more complicated and works on a wide variety of computers. What's more, it can cope pretty well with the illogicalities of the English language, as Digital's Nancy Burke explains.
The difference between what we have and what most other people have is that our pronunciation is based on accuracy and not on a dictionary and not on stored text. So what happens is it takes the file of text and it sends it over to the box and it goes through 7,000 rules for pronunciation. And during my demo, it explains a little bit of what it's capable of doing. It comes with six voices. It has Braille Frank, Paul the Average Male, Huge Harry, Rough Rita, Beautiful Betty, Kit the Kid, and then if you want to, you can create your own voice by changing and modifying all of your parameters.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul again. I'd like to show you a few of my capabilities. I can pronounce numbers such as 284,639,345. I also can figure out some abbreviations, even some with two meanings. I live in a beautiful penthouse on St. Thomas Street in Telegraph Hill overlooking the bay.
and I know about money, I can ask for $17.35, or I can ask for $17.35 million and say it correctly. And now back to Barry Norman.
Thank you, Paul. I wouldn't mind the $17.35 million anytime you're ready. Well, whatever. That's about all for now from San Francisco and the West Coast Computer Fair. I'll be back at the same time next week when I'll be reporting from Nevada on how the gambling industry has opened its heart and its wallet to the computer business. But until then, let me leave you with this final thought from Apple's Larry Tesler.
You will know when the computer is actually, has made it and is a home appliance, when you can pick your color.
I left my heart in San Francisco, high on a hill. It calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care. My love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, then I come home to you, San Francisco. Your golden sun will shine on me.
That's all for this week from San Francisco.
Yes, well, thanks very much. Don't call us. We'll let you know. Goodbye.